Well, Father, Lord, we thank you for the dreams and the visions that you've given us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have told us that we can direct our energy to your energy to combat these things that are going on that the enemy has done. We thank you, Father, that you're already taking care of business for us because we prayed the prayer of faith. We know that that building's coming down. If it hadn't already, I don't know if we'll ever hear about it or not. Doesn't make any difference. We know it stopped in Jesus' name. We know also that the powers that be are coming down, Lord, because we've also sent the angels out. We've prayed to you, and you've sent the angels out to do the word, Lord, of what you've told us to pray about, and that's to bring the deep state down and to drain the swamp. And Father, we thank you that you are doing that. We thank you, Lord, that you're exposing all of these corrupt, evil people that's been running this country for a long time. Lord, I thank you for exposing the CIA for what they've been doing in the last 40 or 50 years, Lord. That you're exposing them and you're cleaning them up too. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not going to stop there, that you're going to that Red Sea is going to come over Pharaoh's army and take over, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for anointing us all tonight to talk and to share in this little fellowship that we have from all over, Lord. And thank you, Father, for placing in our hearts the courage and the boldness to speak the glories that you've done for each one of us, Lord. Because there are so many, Lord. And I just love you, Lord, for showing us everything of your love, all of your love in our lives, bringing our families into the kingdom. It's awesome to watch, Lord. It's awesome to see the things that you're doing. And, you know, Lord, you told us that we have an open channel to heaven. We have an open heaven to the throne of God. And we thank you that we do, Father. And we thank you that when we do pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. Because your word says when two or more gathered in your name, you know, and that's power, Lord, that's power. And I thank you, Father, for giving us these words of encouragement that each one of us shares when we give our testimonies and praise report. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for answering our prayers when we do pray for other people as well as for ourselves, Lord. And I thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Father, because we love you and we know you love us, and because you ain't no respecter of persons. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Well, praise be to God. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray for a lady that I work with. She has three kids, and the father is in jail for selling drugs and stealing and stuff like that. I don't know if they ever got married or anything like that. I don't know a lot of the details. You know, I just want to pray for her because I know the Lord, you know, put her in my path for a reason. So, Lord, we lift up this lady to you, Lord. You know who she is and her situations, Lord. And I pray that you would reunite that family together, Lord, so that those children could have a male figure in their life, Lord, so they can grow up to know what to be like, Lord, and that you would change both her and the father's hearts, Lord, that you grant them repentance, Lord, and that they would serve you with all their heart, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Matt that this is a done deal, Lord, that you're going to draw that family into you, Lord. Show them your love, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Well, I want to pray just a little bit. Y'all believe with me, okay? Lord, I just lift up these people that are seem to be lagging behind where you'd like us to all be, Lord. And that's absolute surrender to you, Lord. I'm talking about in the local fellowship here, Father. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you do whatever it takes to wake them up. And Lord, to get them out of that. I know that for the most part, it's a spirit of rejection and pride that won't allow them to come forward for prayer. But Lord, I know that you can flip a switch on in them and change their minds. I know that you can put the fear of God on them, Lord, to make them run to you, Father. And I ask, whatever it takes, Lord, that you do that before it's too late. I don't want to see them go, Lord. I don't want to see them to flee, Father. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you do a mighty quick work in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, that's a done deal. Anybody else? You know, just like I said a while ago, the Lord has shown us that we have an open portal, so to speak, to heaven, that when we pray, God immediately hears our prayers. We know that from what God has already told us. I'm talking about here, too, in the outreach. I know we do, because God showed me that. Well, yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, can you hear me? Oh, okay. At my workplace, they are going to be reclassifying everyone, and they want us to fill out something to help them with all the reclassifications they have to do. I took a job, this job, a long time ago. Like, it was just a lateral shift. It's the same level, so there was no increase. And it's classified now from what I used to be in. It's a lower job. That job went up, but my job doesn't exist anymore. So it was good that I actually made this switch. But the Lord showed me today, because when this came on, I was angry that they were asking me to do this, and I shouldn't have been angry. And so the Lord showed me that I was angry about this, and that they're asking me to clarify what I do in my workplace. So I would just like prayer, because the Lord showed me that I got angry for absolutely no reason. I like to write out things sometimes when things happen to me, so that I can actually remember what happened, you know. So I prayed about it, and it's just, this has been something that's been harping with me for a long time, because the lesser job I took, you know, makes me feel like I made a mistake and stuff. And they already reclassified me a couple of years back, and I just don't see the reason for me to fill this thing out again. So I just don't want to be angry about this, and go about it in a professional way. And that's it. He showed me that there's something with this job classification thing that is turning in me, and I did pray about it, and I have thanked him for it, and it's just that you don't realize that you've done this error until it's too late, you know, and then you come before him, and I just don't want to have that. I don't want to be this troubling me anymore about this reclassification thing. That's about it. So I'm just going to reiterate and go to the Lord and say that, Father, I've already asked for this, and I thank you, Lord, that it's a done thing. This type of anger is not something you would have, and you would have for me because of my new life in Christ Jesus. So this is all done and settled at the cross. And I just pray, Lord, that if anything comes up about this in the future, that there wouldn't be any anger or anything that would interfere or get anxiety or something about it, or whatever it is, Lord, that it would just go away and everything would be fine. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for taking that out of him. Lord, we thank you that the next time it comes around, he'll have that overcoming power, Lord, to just look at it and nod. I said, oh, there it is. Okay, thank you, Father. And Lord, I ask that you let this just be an easy transition for him. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Give him the wisdom to do whatever it is that he needs to do to get this reclassification going. And Lord, it'll be better for him on the other side. We know, Lord, that you work all things out to your betterment and our betterment. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for what you're doing in Andrew. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You know, I wonder if that's why maybe the Lord might have woke me up in the middle of the night. Andrew came to my mind, and I was half asleep and half awake, and Andrew came to my mind, and I just felt the Lord wanted me to pray for him. And I wonder if that's what was pertaining to that. I just prayed in the spirit for him. I was just praying the Lord, you know what he's going through, what he needs. And I just prayed in the spirit. But it's just funny that, you know, that he had said that, because it was over the weekend that the Lord had brought him to my mind in the middle of the night. He does that sometimes in the middle of the night. People will come to my mind, and I just start praying for them. So I just think that's awesome, then, that the Lord's going to work in his life. Amen.
Well, you see, there's another thing. There might be a strike at my workplace, and I don't want to go on strike. And the last time they went on strike, I actually did go. But I kept myself as best as I could in the Lord at that time. And, there's another one coming, and I prayed against this strike. I don't want it to happen. And that could be why you were awake and why you were praying there, too. Because I just got this information today about this reclassification, because that's one of the things the company wants to do, well, the university. Anyway.
Well, can I pray for that, against that strike?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you on behalf of Andy and all the rest of the people that are yours in that system there, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are going to avert this strike. I don't know how you're going to do it. It doesn't make us any difference, Lord, but we know that you're going to stop this strike from happening. And, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to hear the testimony that the strike was averted by your love. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
I believe it. I believe it. I really do. Thank you, Father, for doing this for Andrew and all the other Christians that are in that system, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Did you have something, David?
Yeah, I was going to say my recent feelings about what I'm seeing go on, even where I work, and now hearing what Andrew's going through, and maybe others, is I think I'm starting to get that feeling like we're in a time of feral, where they're trying to make the workers work with less with no straw to still make the bricks. Because, I mean, it's like, for instance, today we're cutting short on people. We're like, I am a electronics technician, but they're reducing staffing the best they can and bringing in lower level work to do more work, but they're not really reducing the workload on, like me, they're just doubling it up, literally. That's our answer to get things done. They're trying to cut back. And so I actually had a guy that didn't come into work today, so we're at a level where there is no more places to shove the work. They just give me his work, too. So I have two people's work to do in a day's time. And it's like, it's like, well, here you go. And it's like, all right, okay, thanks. It's not like I'm upset, but I'm just looking at this thing, and it's like, you know, this is just crazy. So, you know, you just rush through and don't do as good as you could, but you get done what you need to get done, and you walk out. And on top of just taking care of keeping machines going, too, if they have any problems, you know. So it's like, okay, whatever. But I'm not mad, but you just think, you know, you think of the craziness, the stuff that's going on. You're thinking, is this God's way of winding this up so that people in the Christian community finally say, Lord, we've had enough. We can't take this anymore. You know, you please come. And, you know, it's like to make us not want to be part of this world anymore because we get so comfortable in where we're at and where our routines and what we're doing and everything's fine. And it's like maybe it's his way of saying, hey, listen, this is where I never really wanted you to be. It's where you are now, but it's not where you're going to be forever. So to make us pray for the earnest expectation of his coming so we can get this over with. Sometimes I wonder if that's what we're going through. But and then, you know, listening to David the last Sunday, it was like they think that we're in for maybe seven more, at least in this country, seven more blows, apparently. And that's mainly going to be aimed at the apostates. To try to get his people out of the apostate Christianity. And my wife is well endowed in that, and she will not release it. You know, it's a spirit. And so I'm thinking, you know, I told her, you know, and I actually was reading through Hidden Manna, and part of the part I was in reading in Hidden Manna was going over Numbers chapter 16, where you had the Korah rebellion. And then he pointed out what was very interesting, that in the Korah rebellion, you had three people that rebelled. You had Korah, Nathan, and Abiram. Where Korah was actually a Levite, which was the tribe which was set aside to be the ministerial tribe for Christ, for the Lord in the workings of the ministry for the rest of the crew. And then you had the other two, which were not Levites. And David pointed out that out of these three, since we have a type and shadow here, he's saying that one now out of three people that are anointed, or like we are, anointed body with the Holy Spirit, one out of three of those in that ministry will, you know, reprobate, become apostate, will try to draw people away for themselves. And he says the other two, you have two of those out of the three. Those are the people that are not anointed, that were never chosen by God to be in the ministry, which you have today. You have a branch of Christianity out there, the denominations, that have never been anointed by God, have gone through schools or whatever, through their denominational setting to get their degrees and still teach and be over God's people. Those two-thirds of those people are not going to be drawing people to Christ. They're going to be drawing people to another Jesus. So if you look at, think of those statistics, you know, what we have today, how it reflects on our society, you have such a high number or probability. And I was telling this to my kids when it's Sunday, and my mother-in-law's over, and I don't know if she got it because she's upset because I was talking this way, because she's really heavy listening, or she decided to go to the bathroom. But she was in her 90s, you know, because I got to be careful what I say around her. I gotta go. She had to go up and use the bathroom. And I don't know if I really turned her off or really got her upset, but she didn't say much. But my wife, her eyes were getting big. But let people know, listen, you had to be careful who you listen to. You know, you can't just trust somebody that's in the ministry. I says, oh, you got to see whether or not they'll lead you down the right path, you can listen to your spirit and see if your heart's agreeing with it. And if you get that funny feeling, well, there's a problem. I says, there's a problem there. The Holy Spirit's trying to get hold of you. Because if you look at the odds, there's a pretty high odds out there. The majority of the people out there in ministry are not there for your good. You know, if you're not paying attention, they're there to lead you to another Jesus, another Christ. They're there to take your money. They're there to draw you to themselves rather than Christ, because they got this ego they're feeling. So it's such the odds are, those odds out there are very startling just to look at that. That's just, and I kind of rambled a little bit, but just going on with what Andrew's going through, seeing how the society's going, in a way it's coming, more and more work is being pushed on the workers, and they're expecting more. You're not going to get any more for it, or maybe even get less, you know. And then it turns around, then you got to worry about the apostates out there, and then the Lord's, you know, I'm happy the Lord's going to deal with this. I'm happy he's going to come out and start shaking this tree to get his people out. But at the same time, I mean, the Lord gave me Lamentations today. I think it was Lamentations, or Joel, second chapter of Joel this morning. The whole chapter is like, that really, those times aren't going to be all that pretty either. So, you know, as much as I encourage this to come on, it's going to be some pretty rugged times coming ahead of us. So we got to get prepared for that in our hearts, you know. We know this is not going to be, this is going to be Jacob's trial. This is definitely going to be a time for testing. So I pray that we all get prepared for this. You know, that's what I'm gonna really concerned about also.
I remember the testimony of Linda Smith. Y'all remember that testimony where she was at work and they put her in this impossible situation where no one had ever met the quotas at this particular job. And she was just beside herself, you know. She'd get up, she'd go to the bathroom, and she'd just sit there and, you know, and just boo-hoo, and she couldn't figure it out. Like, why'd they put me on that silly thing? I can't, no way. And she went back, and she sat down, and she said, well, I'll just do what I can do. And she started working. She prayed before she worked, though. She started working. And next thing she know, she was back watching herself. I mean, she wasn't doing the work. She was watching her hands do the work, but she wasn't doing it. I mean, she was like she had an out-of-body experience watching herself, her body work while she was sitting there resting and watching herself work. And she got done before what they couldn't get done in 8 hours before. Never. She got done in 4 hours, in half the time. And, of course, it made her supervisor mad that she did, because he didn't have any more work for her to do, and she's just going to have to sit idly by, you know. I thought that was, and I said that, you know, to tell you, just pray about it, and God will take care of it. Amen. I know what I'd do if I was you, Dave. If they gave you any help at all, I'd put him on, show him how to do it, and teach him a little bit of something about it while you're doing it.
Well, the way they got it, it's called electronic condition-based maintenance. And we log in every day through all the machines, and you got requirements of your skill level, what you're going to do. And that's what your assignments are. So they might have two or three people assign the same machine, but your skill level is isolated what you're going to do. So you take care of what's on that, or best you can. So the way they've got it set out is, you know.
Is it union?
Huh?
Is it union?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with this, in a sense, because this way people strive to get ahead, and because there is a level to come up to, but now they're cutting out the levels. So if they're making it harder for anybody that wants to go up, and so I don't know, you know, it's just like I said, they're making you work harder for less, and inspecting you to do, you know, it's, and I, that's why I don't supervise, because I know darn well I'd be in the same position. I'd just be shoving work down people's throats because they have no choice, but they've got this work they got to get done in this day, and then they're just going to shove it out there and see what comes back and doesn't get done. They don't, you know, it's like just pour the water on until they suffocate. You know, that's all they're going to do. They have got no choice. They're doing what they've been kind of pushed into do too. So it's all coming from the trickle down effect from everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a crazy thing, you know, and I don't think I'm the only one. I got a feeling a lot of places are doing this, you know.
Yeah. I suspect so. Well, all right, Lord, we thank you for wisdom and overcoming power for Dave and Andrew both, in Jesus, and anybody else that needs it, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in that environment at one time as a supervisor, as a maintenance supervisor in a fast-paced, lot of people on assembly line, that if one piece broke down, everybody shut down, you know, that kind of, that type of deal. And I don't ever want to do that again. I did that for 10 years. I came out of almost just completely berserk, you know.
Well, I listened to you talk about how you set up a base, a maintenance window, or routine maintenance.
Yep.
Well, basically, this is what this. This is routine maintenance, and now it's going on steroids. And this is what they're doing. They've started something, and now they're just going to make it even more. You know, it's crazy. And like I said, I had on my paper, if I would have did everything the way it was said on my paper, it would have been 14.1 hours worth of work. And it's like, you can't do that in 7.3 hours, 8 hours. It's like crazy. But that's just the way it's going.
Amen. All right. Well, I know how the manufacturing process goes. It's a lot of times it doesn't make a lot of sense. But if you're a Christian, you can pray for wisdom. You can pray for whatever you need, you know, and God's going to help you out in that area. All right. Anybody else?
Yes, Michael?
Yeah. Is that you, Gano?
It's Debbie.
Oh, Deb, where you at? Oh, there you are. Okay. I see you.
Yeah, my daughter just got contacted us, and she's a nurse, and she was just given a two-week notice, and it's a place that she's really loved to work at. She loved her MDS job, and but something changed in the management there, and so she really was trying to get another job, and went and applied someplace. They didn't have what she wanted, offered her something else, and she refused it. So she's stayed where she's been wanting to get away from, and now they just gave her two-week notice. And, of course, offered her a couple jobs that she had to decline because it would be very stressful. And so, anyway, I told her that we'd be praying for her, that God will just work it out for her. Told her that God is sovereign. If she just trusts in his faith, he will help her, and he has a reason for this. He sees and knows what's going on.
So, amen.
She's going to try to get back to the place she tried and turn down that job and see if it's still available. If not, got us something. So, I told her that we have the faith of agreement, and we pray.
Okay, you will pray?
You sure, yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my daughter, our daughter Kimberly, to you, Lord God. That we just trust you, Father. We stand in in faith, believing together, Lord, that you just provide a job for her, Lord. I pray, God, that you will just give her the faith to trust you, Lord. She will use this in her life, God, to just really turn to you and want to really trust that you know what is going on and that you want to have the best for her, Lord. She'll turn to you, Lord. So just provide another job for her, God. We pray and agree together and thank you for it.
Thank you,
Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we let this be a testimony to her of your goodness toward her, Lord. Let her draw nigh unto you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Y'all believe with me, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my wife to you. Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing into her. I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to do a little teaching the other night with her. She was hurting, Lord. I know she was. She wouldn't call me to ask me to read to her and talk with her about the Lord, Lord, if she wasn't hurting. And she was. And Father, I thank you for that opportunity to speak to her about the way she confesses with her mouth the bad report. And Lord, I believe we got something across that night. And with your help, Lord, it's going to sink in and take root. And she's going to start confessing the good report. She knows that the doctors can't help her anymore. She's at the weakest that she can be. And now she has to rely on you completely, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you are putting her in that position. You are teaching her to speak as an oracle of God and to confess what the word says. The promises have already promised us, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And that when she comes across these people that tell her, well, you don't look like you're healed, that she'll just tell them, say, well, it don't make any difference what you see. I'm already healed because the word of God says it. And Lord, I thank you that you are placing that in her heart and taking root, and it's going to grow daily. And Father, we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. And I know, Lord, she's wanting that rocking chair. And I told her that the rocking chair will be waiting on you. And I thank you, Lord, that she'll be out here shortly in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. I bought a couple of rocking chairs at Habitat for Humanity the other day, me and Blake did. And I don't know if I ever told you about it, but they were, I think I got a picture of them. I just got a picture of them. And here's what it looked like. Can you see that? See, it's
can
one
you
of
make
those,
it a full screen?
Huh?
Can you make it the full screen so we can see the whole thing?
It is a full screen.
I'm talking about on the capture it or something, or somewhere you can make the video.
It's just a photo on my telephone. That's all I can do. I'm not that techie savvy right now. But anyway, it's just a rocking chair. We got two of them. And here, let me show you what I did to one of them. I'm not bragging or anything. I just want to show you what I got. Show you what my
wife.
You
can put, we can click on the right and it says speaker view, and whoever's speaking, it'll get big.
Oh, you mean on yours? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you do it again, I can get a real big picture.
But anyway, here's what one of them looks like now after I redid it. Can you see that? Yeah, I redid the bottom and the back and, of course, restored the wood. And I learned how to weave that rush. They call that rush on the bottom seat and the back there. And you can learn to do anything on YouTube. You know that. But it turned out real well. It really did. And she said, man, I want that. I said, it'll be sitting on the front porch when you get here, hon. She didn't want to hear that, but that's okay. But anyway, and she did. She called the other night. She was really hurting physically, sick. And I ministered to her for about 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And she got better. And the next day she was just fine, man. I'm telling you, God just did a miracle there for her. And she understood that it was God. It wasn't anything else. It wasn't anything she was taking, because everything she's taking, she's allergic to it. Praise God. God is weaning her off of doctors. That's what he's doing. All right. Anybody else? And Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you that you are weaning her off of doctors and pharmakia in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? I know y'all are praying bunch.
I'll pray real quick for our families. Father, I ask that you come in our families' lives, and what we all have on our minds that haven't come in to know the full gospel, to understand what the gospel is, they haven't received the gospel message, or they're being resistant to come to their gospel message. Lord, I ask that you, this is the time that we're asking for our families to come in the fullness and the nature and character of you and what you have to offer in the complete gospel and what Jesus gave us at the cross. Father, please make this possible so we all can come together and be in the same family and be in one accord, not just in this group, Lord, but in our immediate family also. And we can start seeing what it is you want from us clearer, and we don't have to worry about offending others or maybe trying to overcome things, Lord. We're asking that you make this happen, make this easier, make this transition happen now. Because we know these are the times that you can start pulling people into your kingdom, Father, completely. And we ask that you do that first in our families so we can rest assured and start working on others in our lives without having to always worry about our families. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is Bruce there?
He's not. No, he's not on with me here.
Okay. Does he listen to the...
Want me to go get him? No, he doesn't. I mean, only once in a while when I kind of say, oh, please, this is really good. You'll get blessed by it. But do you want me to go get him?
Well, if he wants to listen to this, because I'm going to talk just a little bit briefly here about faith and calling the things that are not as though they were.
Okay, hold on. I'll go see.
All right. We've been in this book of David's called Weakness, the Way to God's Power, and we're in a chapter now that's a good one. It's called Confess and Believe, and I wanted to do that for Bruce. He's struggling with some things, and it's really it'll help us all. Actually, I thought it was an awesome portion of this. Of course, everything in this book here is really awesome.
What page is that?
Andrew, I'm on 88. I'm going to start out on 88.
Yeah, I'm on 78.
Okay. All right. Well, turn it over. You can do that, can't you?
Actually, everybody's 78 because Jesus was 77.
Okay. All right.
He got red and yep. Circumcision there.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, he's in the room.
Okay, Bruce, I ran across something. We're in this book, Weakness, the Way to God's Power, and I know
we were reading that too there for a while.
Okay, well I'm on page 88, okay. and I'm going to read this part, and I want you to just listen to what it says. He says, I'm going to start out where it says, I know calling the things that are not as though they were. Appears like a lie to the world, but it's not a lie because you're in agreement with the scriptures. You're in agreement with God Almighty, the one who does not dwell in time. And what he says goes. Romans 3 and 4 says, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. You know what you need when you come into judgment? When you come under judgment of the curse, what you need is justification. And justification is God calling you righteous. And he calls you righteous when you come under the curse if you agree with the Bible concerning what Jesus did about the curse. Can you agree with the Bible about what Jesus did? Let me tell you what he did. He became accursed for you so that you could have the blessings of Abraham. Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Do you agree with the Bible? See, if you're not agreeing with the Bible, you're going to consider, well, I need this. Or I'll have to handle it. The crucifixion of Jesus wasn't enough. I'll have to handle a little bit of this myself. and the worldly teachers are going to convince you of that, and you will be a double-minded person because you are not agreeing with God's word. Jesus only preached to those people who had eyes to see and ears to hear, as it talks about in Matthew 13. He wasn't talking about the physical ones. They all had them. He was talking about spiritual eyes. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Let me read it again. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us, that's us, all things, what does all leave out? Don't leave nothing out. That pertain unto life and godliness. So, do you see that? Do you see with your spiritual eyes that God has already given you everything that pertains unto life? It's not a matter of him accomplishing it yet. He did that almost 2,000 years ago. Now, the problem is, are you going to agree with him? Two can't walk together except they be agreed, it says in Amos chapter 3. You can't walk with Jesus except to the extent you agree with him. Now, how are you going to agree with him? And he talks about this guy, Bud. He said, I told Bud, the Lord told you what the Bible says. The problem is you didn't believe in it. You were waiting to see something. You wanted to see something. And that's not the way faith works. Faith accepts it as a fact before seeing it. If you walk by faith, you will see it. But if you walk by sight, you'll never see it because that's not the way it works. That's not faith. Faith is looking back at the cross. And of course, Bud was angry at God because God didn't do what he said he was going to do. And that was to heal his wife, and his wife died. But here's David explaining to him. But it wasn't God's fault. So we enter into the covenant. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Listen, the power of God has already been accomplished. What he's done is already accomplished. What's the other part? Well, you enter into that covenant by your faith. That's what brings it to pass. God's part is sure. It's finished. It's final. And now we enter into our part of it by faith. That's our part of keeping the covenant. When the disciples asked Jesus, what must we do that we may work the works of God in John chapter 6 and verse 28? He said, just one thing. Believe on him who he hath sent. All we have to do the works of God, whatever they are, is believe on him whom he has sent. Does everybody have to die under the curse? Does everybody have to leave this life under the curse? The world has taken for granted that you're going to die of something. Do you have to die under the curse, or can you keep believing all the way up to the end until you leave this life? Has everybody died of the curse? No. In fact, I have some books describing people who died on their deathbed and there was absolutely no pain in their body and they couldn't find anything wrong with them. They just went to be with the Lord. I've read those books. This is not to condemn the ones who do die, but we have to get our sight and our vision on Jesus. You can't go somewhere that you can't see. If you can see Jesus in the mirror, you can go there. The Bible says you can. Of course, everybody's not going to go there to the same amount. Look, one person received one talent, another two, and another five. That's in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Everybody doesn't get the same gift. Everybody doesn't manifest the same fruit because there's 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit that talks about in Matthew 13. Do you want to enter into only what you see other people entering into? Or do you want to enter into everything that God has for you? That's the point. We're supposed to be looking at Jesus, not looking at your neighbor. who cares what they enter into. Get your eyes on Jesus. He'll show you what you can enter into. God is going to do a special thing in these days. Did you know that he's going to do something he's never done before? The Bible says he's coming to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Oh, glory to God. The Apostle Paul said there was a day in the future where his words would finally be believed, and that Jesus would be glorified in those people in that day because they did believe that word. And you know, God gives grace for us to enter into believing just as much as we can believe. God gives grace for us to reach out to places people have never reached out to. In this day, there's more grace to believe more than there's ever been. Do you understand what that verse says? He said, in that day, Paul was saying that they weren't believing it in his day. But that's what we're seeking right now. We don't want to stop with what religion has accepted. We want to go on and get everything God has given us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. That's one work. Now here's another one. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The first is talking about your works, the work of the flesh, the efforts of man, the efforts of self, the buying of God's gift, all those things. And the second is talking about God's work. So let's just use healing again as for instance, because we're talking about it. You know what? When you have faith that Jesus healed you, that Jesus healed you, which is the only one that's a scriptural faith, that faith is going to be walked out by your feet. It's going to come out of your mouth, and it's going to be seen in your actions. That is a work that comes from faith. You know what the other work is? It's a work that comes before faith. Works of the flesh come before faith. Works of God comes after faith. When you believe, you're able to walk just like you received. And do you know what happens when you do that? You do what the 10 lepers did. Jesus said to them, go and show yourselves unto the priest. Luke 17 and 14. Well, they understood that because in the law of Moses, when a person was healed of leprosy, he went to show himself to the priest. And then the priest inspected the person and took his turtle dove and gave his offering. But these lepers went to show themselves to the priest before their healing was manifested. Their walk was a walk of faith. But you know what would be the way of the world? The world would stand right there and say, well, I'm not healed. Those lepers would look at them and say, well, I'm not healed yet. It's not the time to go show myself to the priest. That's a carnal walk. It's a walk that's according to sight and not according to faith. So there is a work that follows faith. Faith without works is dead, the word says. And if you believe that you're healed, let me see it come out of your mouth and let me see it in your feet. And if you believe that Jesus delivered you from sin, let's see that come out of your mouth and let's see it in your feet. And do you understand? When you believe something, your actions have to agree with that faith. Because faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself, or it's incomplete. It's not real faith until it's put into works that agree with what the Bible says, but don't agree with what the world says. The world says, I can see you're not healed, but your feet keep on saying, I'm healed, look at me walk, because your works are going to agree with faith. And so as long as you're just healed by faith, you know you're not healed by manifestation. As long as you're healed by faith, you're believing for something that you don't see. That's the faith. That's the way faith works. And if you don't do it there, you'll never see it by manifestation. So the thing to do, if we're looking for a healing from God, is to repent of our old worldly thinking and get back on line with the Word of God and start talking like Jesus wants us to talk. He said, "You speak as an oracle of God." Well, if you're doing that, God says you're healed, then bless God, you're healed. And then start telling folks. That's what I was telling my wife last night, or not before last. Praise God. I just thought I'd throw that out there because I know some people need that. It was amazing to me. I don't know. It just agreed with my whole being, and I knew I had to share that. All right. Anybody got anything they want to add to it?
Thank you for that.
Amen. Okay. Anybody got anything they want to share?
I was just going to say I've been listening to the teaching on the tongue at work, and it kind of goes in agreement with the healing and weakness, is because we have to, and David's hitting on the same points here, where if we're looking for something in faith, it's the only way we're going to get it and understand how everything works in our life and walks through in our life is when we walk in agreement with the Word, and what we're thinking comes out of our mouth. He said, when you start getting it to come out of your mouth, then it will actually change your heart. He says, the idea is that your heart will always, your flesh will always fight against what you're feeling. It will always be contrary to what you want to think or feel. Because the heart is still got that deception about it. It's still got that human nature. But if we can get our mouth confessed and say what's in agreement with the Word, then we can start changing our heart and casting it down. Until we get our mouth to come out in agreement with it and verbally say things and walk in the Word that way. It doesn't even have to be exact, but it has to be following God's Word. That's His nature. That's His name. He says that the Word is God. We get it to come out of our mouth and make our spirit man, make that the carnal man come in agreement with the Word, and the flesh make it come in agreement with the Word by make it speak and come out of our mouth. Then we get to see the transformation, the changes. Then we definitely will see Jesus in the mirror. We start seeing all the spiritual manifestations come out. And we just hold our faith to that, hold on to that, and keep on letting that come out of our mouth. And that's when the Word becomes strong in us, and it manifests what we need to have done. And we get to change our heart, too, at the same time.
Amen. I remember when I went to a church that we were waiting outside the church to get in. This is a weekday. To see somebody that was going to be there. I think it was Jesse Duplantis. This was way back when, long time ago, when I first became a Christian. And I was talking to these two ladies, and once we went in, they were talking about healing and all this stuff, and one of the ladies, she asked me after we got in, she said, is something wrong with your back? And of course there was at the time. I was on medication for it, and I was having a hard time with it. And I said, yeah, my back hurts. They said, I've been to the doctor and they've given me this medication for it, but it's not working, you know. And anyway, she prayed for my back, just a simple prayer, you know, command the pain to go from his back in Jesus' name and it to be restored. And instantly, it wasn't healed instantly, but I could tell a difference in it. And she said, how does it feel? I said, I'm healed. Praise God. That's a lot better. I said, I'm healed. And somebody had asked me, and that didn't manifest for a few days completely. Okay. And that's what you have to do. You have to just keep on saying, somebody asked you, well, how are you doing? I'm healed in Jesus' name. You know, my wife had asked me, I said, God healed it. God healed it. And it manifested. I hadn't had a minute's problem with it since. And that's been almost 20 years ago.
That was the other thing he said. He talked about that. He said, he sinned many times, or we can get an instant healing, but we could lose it just as fast the next day or a week later just by our negative confession. And he says that's what murmuring was about with the Egyptians in the desert. He says they were murmuring against what God was doing for them, and they were speaking against it. He says he does the same thing today. He gives you what you speak out of your mouth. He says if you're going to confess the curse and want that on, he says that's what you're going to get. But if you confess the healing and stay to that, he says that's what you're going to get. And so, very important what comes out of our mouth, and make sure we're in agreement with the word and what's going on. He says we can cancel it out all the time with our mouth.
And that's a good point, because people think that after a few days, if you're not healed, I guess God's not going to heal me, A lot of time, double-mindedness sets in. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to do that, and it's a test of your faith, whether you're going to stay with the word or you're going to stay with the devil. Look, I know people that's been looking for a healing for years, but they're still confessing. They might slide back a little bit, and then they'll come back in, They'll come back in, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to stay with it this time. Sometimes the worldly ways try to come up and mess with you, you just have to be firm and be with the word of God, and it'll manifest, I guarantee you. Somebody asks you, how you doing? Man, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I was healed 2,000 years ago. Well, you don't look healed. Don't make no difference what you're looking at. I'm healed. And that's the spirit man inside of you, knowing that Jesus is talking, right? That's Jesus talking. That's when you look in the mirror and you see Jesus. That's what Jesus wants out of us, is that Jesus talk. That's what he wants. Not the carnal man talking. Carnal man says, I ain't healed. I ain't feeling nothing. And if them lepers had said that, they'd have never gotten healed. But they went, and they got healed because they went to the priest, and the priest sanctified them, or God healed them right then. That's awesome. That's the way faith works. Well, faith works with you acting on that faith, basically. I know God heals instantaneously, and that's the best way. We all like that. But a lot of times he's wanting to see where you are in your faith. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I know I shared with y'all about my daughter-in-law. She's been I guess you could say seeking the Lord or whatever, and wanting to draw closer to God and have a relationship with the Lord. Well, anyway, we were visiting my family this past weekend. We stayed with my son and daughter-in-law, Kurt and Brooke, and I got to talking to her actually the morning that we left. She wasn't feeling good while we were there, and she was supposed to substitute teach on Monday morning, and she said she felt like she had a sinus infection, and she just really didn't feel good at all. And she said she knew that she couldn't go in and deal with kindergartners. Anyway, and so we were just talking that morning and everything, and she said she was praying and talking to the Lord about, her feeling better. She was going to go to Med Express or whatever and get some medicines or whatever. And so she, after she'd been up for a while, she was feeling better. And I said to her, let's put our faith together. And, I said, you want me to pray for you? And she said, yeah. So I prayed for her and commanded the pain to go, and commanded any sinus infection or whatever the issue was to go in Jesus' name. And so then she texted me today, and let me read to you what she said. She says, let me find it here quick. Okay. Okay, she said, I'm about 90% better. I just kept praying and asking God to heal me. He is truly amazing. And then I said, amen, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Did you take any medicine? I asked her, and she says, nope. I said, wow, keep exercising faith in the Lord, and he will show you greater and greater provision and miracles. The Lord is all we need. We don't need to do anything when it comes to what he has promised us in his word. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. He did it all. And that's what I told her. But I was like, wow, I was like so encouraged by that, that she was, she didn't even go and end up getting any medicine. She didn't end up going. And so that was awesome. So just praise the Lord. I'd like to say a prayer for her. I've just really been encouraging her. I spoke a lot of faith to her yesterday morning. I can't even remember what all it was. And just talking to her about them. We were like talking about a lot of different things, but anyway. So Father, I just want to lift Brooke up to you and ask you to continue to help her exercise faith and believe you, Lord. I told her, that Father, that she can ask anything. To let her imagination run wild. Although I said to her, you don't ask for a Cadillac when you don't need a Cadillac, or something like that. And she knew what I meant. But anyway, so Father, just remind her what I told her, Lord, that you are her provider of everything, Lord. And I even told her about the swing and how you provided for a swing, and I didn't have to go buy one. And but anyway, Lord, I just thank you for doing that for Brooke, and continue to show her in your word all your promises, and help her to believe everything in that, Lord, in your word, and not to let man tell her that God doesn't do this or that anymore or anything like that, Lord. And I just ask you to give her dreams or whatever, Lord. Just really open your word up to her, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to show her about being filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and how important that is, Lord. And even if you choose to use me to talk to her about that, Lord, just open the door, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is that Merle our hill here in the background there?
Yeah, he just got home from taking Alex back to school.
Oh. Hey, Merle.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm blessed.
I know. So am I.
Amen. Amen. Hey. I see you. Yeah, boy. You're looking awful sporty there, bud. All right, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
He had one of his Norfolk Southern hats on. He worked for Norfolk Southern Railroad. It wasn't one of his Hell Week.
Okay.
I can explain this real quick because my daughter-in-law, Brooke, you know, we were just talking about her. One time we went off to church together and Merle grabbed the hat and stuck it on, and he didn't know which one it was he stuck on, and we got in there and he Brooks turned around and like really saw what it said on it. It says Hell Week. And what is it, Hell Week is that's what the guys call it when they would go down to the coal mines and over the week of the 4th and replace track and repair track and everything for the coal mining company. And they always called it that because it was always so hot and they worked rigorous hours. But that's what they called it. So anyway, when she saw what hat he had on when we walked in to church or whatever, she got the giggles so bad. and Merle's like, oh, okay, whatever, you know, and it didn't bother him none, you know, like, oh, I put the wrong hat on kind of thing, but we still laugh about that.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes us men do that. All right. Anybody else? All right. Last Thursday, I asked what y'all wanted to talk about, and Jackie suggested we talk about respect of person. Is Jackie on here? Oh, there you are, girl. Did you have a verse in mind? Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well, generally, when they talk about that, it's the one in
I was maybe referring to one in Acts.
Well, there's one in Acts, and one I was thinking about was 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh. And that's one of them. There's a lot of scriptures, if anybody did a search of it, in the Word of God that says to have respect of persons. You know, it talks about it's a sin in one place, in another place it's not good. A lot of places about respect of persons. Now, the question that I'd have is, well, what is God talking about when he talks about respect of persons?
Well, one of the things that comes to mind when I think of that is when they would hear the message of Jesus, and then they would hear the disciples talk about the kingdom of God. But rather than, and they agreed with what they heard, and they really, it really made them convicted and it touched their hearts. But because of the fear or the idea of them possibly taking a chance of coming out of grace with the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whoever was their leadership at the time in their community for their religious structure, rather than walk and talk and come in agreement with those people, with the Christians, with Jesus, and become fully into the kingdom, they had that respect of persons still for the Pharisees, the Sadducees, their religious leaders, and they were more concerned about what they would think if they chose to expound or say anything about what they were saying and feeling and how they agreed with what the disciples were saying. So they would not depart from this sect they were with in order to follow into the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you're, it's in the Old Testament as well. Of course, that is part of the Old Testament you're talking about there. But the Lord was trying to teach him that he doesn't respect a person at all. He doesn't care if they're rich or poor. He doesn't care if they're whatever, you know, white, black, green, yellow, whatever. It doesn't make him any different. The Lord is no respecter of persons. He don't want us to be a respecter of persons. And he talks about, the Lord talked about, if there's a rich man that comes in and a poor man that come in, are you going to give the rich man the good seat and tell the poor man to stand over there and get out of the way, you know? And that's what he's talking about. You shouldn't be a respecter of persons. If the poor man comes in first, he's the one that gets the better seat, right? You put him up. I remember one time in this church, I was told this story, and it was a church back in Arkansas, and this hippie guy came in, long-haired, nasty, and all the seats were full. He just came down, sat right down under the pulpit where the preacher was preaching up there, right on the floor, you know. And this old man, about 80 years old, got up out of his seat and went down there and sat with him. Now that is no respecter of persons. He was showing that guy, look, you can do it. You know, I'm going to do it with you, brother. And he didn't have a respect. That is Christ-like there, you know. And that always stuck with me, not to have it. Yeah, go ahead, Willie. Oh, okay. That always stuck with me about how we are to act as Christian. We're not to have a respect of persons to anybody. You know, we have our favorites, you know, in the crowd that you run around with. You know, I like this guy or I like this girl a little bit better than I like this guy. That's not what God says. He says us to know no man after the flesh. Right? And if we know no man after the flesh and we only see Jesus in him, then we're not going to be a respecter of persons, are we? We're going to show the love of Christ. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Another way to look at it, this respect of persons, is in the scriptures when it says they count people as being common. You know, like either you're given respect to this guy or you're making this guy a commoner, you know. So in Romans chapter 14, the 14th verse, it says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is common of itself, save that to him who accounteth anything common, to him it is common. And then, of course, it's warning. That's the chapter when you're amongst people who are less mature. You know, it talks about that in the verses before this. God will be able to make him stand. But of course, this is the complete opposite here, where he's actually giving instruction, and if he's going to give the instruction improperly as something that's hard to understand, this meets, which is the next verse, and if you do it the wrong way, you're no longer walking in love, so you have to present it properly. Present it with and it says let not your good be evil spoken of. So that's something like what Dave was mentioning there about people sometimes agreeing with the Pharisees and not wanting to come out of that, and so they're just saying, you know, because of fear of the hierarchy or whatever. And But the important part is it's not the eating and drinking, but it's the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, you know, that the peace is a spirit too, you know. It's a light in you. It's one of the fruits of the spirit. And it's you gain it by knowledge, and knowledge is also a spirit in you, because it's light, and the light over there in John 1 is in him was life, and this life is the light of men. So that that life is part of the word, because Jesus said, "My word is spirit and life." So they all connect. This light, you're a child of light. So it's making reference, I think, to the spirits that are in your temple, the seven of them too. And that central light is the spirit of God that feeds the other lights, like in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. I was always looking for that scripture about light and spirit together, and it was really neat when it had opened up to me. Anyway, I thought it, we were going to be studying what was to count nothing as common, because that's the flip side as to what we're discussing here.
Well, that's part of it, ain't it? Yeah, praise God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Dave.
I think also, if we, it's interesting, we take a look at scripture here. When the church initially started, we just have the Jews that was the gospel was given to, and we didn't see a lot of Gentiles in the church. And here we have in Acts chapter 11, we see Peter had just came back from Cornelius's place with the Gentiles, and they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he'd shared the gospel with them. And even then, Peter was had to get over that, where the Lord was showing him, call nothing unclean that I have made clean. The idea that no longer is there going to be a separation from Jews and Gentiles. And so here he is, Peter, he brings this report back, because immediately the brethren in the church are, you know, they're concerned. Why are the apostles being given the word of God? I mean, why are the Gentiles being given the word of God? And so Peter has to go through the whole story here at the beginning of Acts 11, and he's telling them how they received the Holy Spirit, when he's telling them about giving them the gospel, and how about Jesus dying on the cross and dying for our sins, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and then they started speaking and coming, so they all witnessed that, and so they all glorify God. But at the beginning of this, you can see, here he is with the brothers, the initial church, the Jews, and they're still not, you know, too comfortable with the idea of just letting it all go. You know, we're no longer Jews, but we're one body in Christ. This whole thing still has to transition for them too, because they're so used to being a separate body of elect race or chosen priesthood just by being Jewish. Now all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, it's open to the Gentiles too. So they had to let that down. They had to let their whole idea of life and what they understood, godliness and the walk and the kingdom. Now it's Gentiles are going to be in the kingdom, and they're just like us, they're brothers. That was a big thing for them to overcome. That was like, to back then, you know, we all have the understanding that the Gentiles were the dogs. Now, no, they're your brothers. They're your, you know, they're just as much in Christ as you are. For them, that was a big thing to overcome. And so that's interesting how we see this transformation now in that church in the New Testament even.
You know, it's interesting to note also that Peter fell back into that garbage later on, you know, and because of fear of man. That's what it was, I believe, with Peter, fear of man. And, of course, Paul had to go in there and correct him, and he didn't mind doing it. Paul loved to get that sword out, didn't he? But anyway, and that's how easily it does, you know. The Jews were just, I guess they were kind of ticked off that the Gentiles didn't have to kill bulls and do all that kind of stuff, do all that work to get to heaven, you know. All they had to do was believe. Repent and believe. That's what the Lord said. Praise God that it is, too, that the Lord Jesus took all of that on him. Thank you, Lord.
It's probably a good thing that all happened, because then they had to all come together as a church, because you still had that whole sectarian Pharisee thing going on within the body then, where they wanted to adhere to the law still, even though they believed Jesus. And you know, to a degree, we're supposed to walk in newness of life, where we're separated from the sin. We're no longer under the law, because we're not walking in willful disobedience in the first place. But by them all having to come together, then, what is it? Is that chapter 12? Where it talks about what they were going to have the Gentiles require for them to do. What, not to eat meat, sacrifice idols, and not to get defiled in fornication, not to let their bodies be used for any kind of fornication. Or what was it? Was there anything else? Are those the two? I think the big two ones. Anybody remember?
Right. But anyway, go ahead. We know what you're talking
about. Meat sacrifice to idols.
Yep. Yeah. Meat sacrifice to idols, not to give their body in fornications. That was the big things that they were holding up as being, this is a no-no. You don't want to be doing that, you know. So that they're not defiling their consciences. They're not finding a way to fall back into the world and lust their flesh and be stumbled with the what's going on with this. If you know that meat was sacrificed to an idol, which you're going to eat anyways, that would be something that might make people and you stumble. You know, even though the premise behind it for us really doesn't matter, but it still might make you stumble. It might make somebody else stumble because it's just meat, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was a big thing with Paul, you know, be weak to the weak and draw them into the kingdom, you know. That's what his deal was, being weak to the weak. And that's how you respect those people. There's people out there that believe that herbs and things like that is the way to stay healthy, you know. And until they understand the truth, that's what they believe, you know. If they're still a Christian, they're still a brother and sister in Christ. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be a stumbling block for people. And a lot of times we talk about our brothers and sisters in Christ not knowing what's going to happen down the road, you know. We don't know which one of them are going to come out of those apostate religions and be a child of God and be a mature man and woman of God. So, you know, we got to be very careful about how we talk around them and about them. I know I've been guilty in the past of talking about, I try to keep mine mostly to denominations and their belief system, because there's a lot of apostasy out there. But when you're talking to a person that's out of one of those churches and you're trying to minister to them, you know, you just come to a common ground and stay with that common ground with them until they understand that there is something else out there. Until God, you pray for them. You know, we're not to be a respecter of person. We're supposed to show a lot of grace, aren't we? But they've got a book called Grace, Not Condemnation, which is a good book for people who have a critical thought, judgmental attitude. A lot of times it's a good book for that. But anyway, getting back to respecter of persons, has anybody else got anything they'd like to share on that? How about it, Denny? Not to put you on the spot there, buddy.
Yeah. I guess the way, excuse me, thank you. I was looking at it from more from like within the church, and I know we covered these scriptures before. And I'm going to read the ones in 1 Corinthians 12, just about being a body of believers and how each person has a function, and that we're not to be a respecter of persons in that way, but everybody's going to have something to say and should, you know, have the liberty to minister, but they'll only do it in, you know, the grace and the gifting that God has given them. But it's accepting everyone and receiving from everyone, you know, whether they're a new convert or they're young or they're old, all those things don't matter. It's, you know, whatever God's grace he gives them. But in 1 Corinthians 12, I was just going to read a little bit about this, you know, just about the body. I know we covered this, you know, quite a few, you know, months ago, but and again, it's not respect. It's respecting a person and for what God has given them and accepting them, you know. And but this is in 1 Corinthians 12. I'll just start reading it in 12. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jew or Gentile, whether slave or free, spirit itself is not made up of only one part, but of many parts. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not keep it from being part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not keep it from being part of the body. If the whole body were just an eye, how could we hear? And if it were only an ear, how could it smell? As it is, however, God puts every different part in the body just as he wanted it to. There would not be a body if we're all only one part. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So then the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, nor can the head say to the feet, well, I don't need you. On the contrary, we cannot do without the parts of the body that seem to be weaker. And those parts that we think aren't worth very much are the ones which we treat with greater care, while the parts of the body which don't look very nice are treated with special modesty, which the more beautiful parts do not need. God himself has put the body together in such a way as to give greater honor to those parts that need it. And so there is no division in the body, but all its different parts have the same concern for one another. If one part of the body suffers, all the others suffer with it. If one part is praised, then all the other parts share in its happiness. All of you are Christ's body, and each one is a part of it. In the church, God has put all in place. In the first place, apostles, in the second, prophets, in the third, teachers, then those who perform miracles, followed by those who are given power to heal or help others or to direct them to speak in strange tongues. They are not all apostles or prophets or teachers. Not everyone has the power to work miracles or to heal diseases or to speak in strange tongues. So or explain what is said. So set your hearts in on the more important gifts. And then he goes on into the love chapter. But it's just that, you know, in a body, we need to hear from everybody. Everybody has something to say. Everybody has, because they have a relationship with the Lord, and we fit together. You know, we're all one. We're members or parts one of another. So we need to receive from each member, because each member has something to contribute. And so in that way, you're not being a respecter of persons and always maybe respecting only the guy who's always up front speaking or something, or, you know, two or three people that do all the speaking in the church, but to receive as a body. I know at UBM on the local, we have a it's really beautiful when we meet, because I mean, everybody has something, seems like, and we just receive from one another. It's a beautiful thing to.
Yeah, amen. You know, one of the things that I found out early on is that even new Christians can have revelations from the Word of God that you haven't seen, you know. Yeah. And it amazes me when they come out with stuff, you know, and I said, looky there, glory to God, you know. And it's you're right. Every part of the body has a part to play. I have a part, you have a part, everybody's got a part to play in the body of Christ. And nobody is any better than anybody else. It takes all the body to make a body, right? All parts of the body to make a body. I mean, you got a foot. Lord says he put everything under his feet, didn't he? That's the lowest person in the body. They have everything that the head everything that the head does, all the way down. Everybody has the same thing as far as the gifts and all of that stuff. Go ahead, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. I have an interesting question. I'm going to give you two verses. They both pertain to the same type of person. And this question is this person going to be part of the body?
Is this a trick question?
It's a trick question.
Okay.
Matthew 24 and 5. Take heed, let no one lead you astray, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. That's one verse. And then I want to go to Revelation 13, 12. And he exerciseth all the authority of the, oh, sorry, that's the wrong verse. Okay, it's 11. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Okay. And he spake as a dragon. So he's got a different tongue from a real lamb. But he's got two horns like a lamb. So if I'm just posing this question, if you take this, common thing too seriously, or this respective persons too seriously, okay, what about these guys? Because they are apparently from a lamb, but they speak like a dragon, and this guy's coming in his name and he's deceiving. So that's my question. How do you know when you're gonna maybe falter, but you have to stand anyway? You know what I mean? Because this five guy comes down here later for stumbling here and from 9 to 13. So you get my meaning? This when we first this came up, I was going, well, what about for the brother who might not be that mature, and he's going along with this guy who's coming in his name and is deceiving? He's speaking the letter of the word.
Well, that's the false preachers you're listening to now.
Don't say it that way.
I'm not saying you. I'm not saying you.
I'll put my address up where you can send a check.
I'm sorry, Andrew. I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean that you personally were listening to me. I'm talking about the apostate church out there.
Yeah, but, you know, they're still in his name, and you sort of want to get the point across, and I know that's all up to the Lord to save these people, to bring them the right way. It's just, why don't they see those verses, and they don't see that, you know, if you can be taken in, because some people are real gullible. I was the gullibleless person on the face of the earth. You know, you told me something, and I would believe you right away. and that can lead to big danger. So how do you, you know, I'm looking for some verses for that. You know, I got 8 and Romans 8:20 and 21 and Romans 11:32 that would show these people what they were and why they were subjected to that disobedience and why they were subjected to that vanity. But how do you know when it's time to bring that kind of stuff up? Because this vain thing has somewhere along the line, like in Jude, come in, you know, and you don't want that that thing that crept in unawares. It's unawares.
Go ahead, Dave.
I understand what you're saying. I do know that my personal experiences have always been, if something's not right, you know, something, you get that feeling, something the Lord is stirring inside you, and you're thinking, wow, something just don't feel right about this. You know, right away, I don't feel comfortable. And then later on, I'll understand why. I may not totally understand it then, but most times I do also. But the Lord of you're saved, he's going to make you understand that something's not right. Or he'll might allow you to go through the air for a little while just to see it, so you understand, whoa, that was really wrong. But in time, it will be corrected. There will be a correction. So, and then, you know, those that fall out and leave with the air, well, that was the test. And does that mean they're gone forever? People that fall out with the people that have, you know, took them out? Because there were wolves in Paul's day. They talked about the wolves coming to, you know, take the brethren out basically from the body of Christ, the deceivers. And there's been plenty of that through the history, and we still see it happening today. Go ahead.
Sometimes you wonder though, is it a real wolf, or is this guy just ignorant?
Could be both.
Well, you know, here's what I do. When they come up with a doctrine that's completely off base from the Word of God, you give them the verses, if it's what you're talking about, Andrew, talking to someone else that's in error. You give them the verses that you know that would refute what they're talking to, their doctrine is, and that one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to, well, where is that? Can I see that, you know, and then they'll want to know more. Or that religious spirit will kick in, and that religious spirit will reject it altogether. You know, well, that's just the way you interpret it, you know. So what you do after that part is you go to praying for them.
Yeah.
That God would open up their eyes to see and their ears to hear the truth of the gospel. Because God has not opened up their eyes and their ears to hear the truth. But you pray for them, and it'll happen.
We don't have to argue with them. Don't try to strive with it. It's not worth it.
But, you know, sometimes you can really see some of these people being drawn by the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's a curiosity there, too, you know. Like, you know, you would talk about, you know, the Sabbath and rest. And then you'd say, well, what about Jesus when he told you to take the yoke upon him and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You know, is that only Sunday for you?
Yeah.
You know, so, I always envision it, like when you go before God for mercy, and he sees you coming, and he loves you, and he says, come closer, and you go closer to his throne, and he puts that yoke upon you, and he lets you stand right in his seat beside him, because, you know, Jesus is the big guy, and he says, now you're in the grace. Now you have the fruit in your soul, you know, because you've received it right here, But you were looking for it there, and I told you to come closer. So that's could be the drawing for these people for that they come in his name to deceive, you know. And because, you know, they were taught this, you know, people were taught a lot of things ever since they were yay high, and then you got to escape from some of that stuff.
Another thing that I found out, Andrew is and Dave is that you can't give them a whole lot at one time. You've got to feed them just a little bit of morsel here and a little morsel there at a time. If you just dump a whole load on them, they're not going to receive it because their mind can't get around it. You know, you give them a little morsel here. Well, what does it say over here about the branch being broken off? You know, if you're talking to somebody with sinners. The ultimate reconciliation, all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, it's a matter of praying and asking God for grace and wisdom to talk to those kind of people, because you know as well as I do that they're hung up into that religion, most of them, and the only thing that's going to get them is one of two things: a hunger for the Word of God that they have, or you're praying for them. I remember a Baptist pastor, the first church I was in, I'd had a vision of the whole church coming under the power of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I went to him and I said, is this something that you see this church coming into? He said, and I told him a lot about some healings I'd seen out on the streets at that time. And he said, Michael, I believe every word you say is true. But that's just not my ministry. And I knew I was in the wrong place then, you know. And this is a young guy, and he meant well. He just, that was all he knew right then, you know. That's what they had taught him at seminary. And it rocked on. I left, as y'all already know, I left. And just a year, maybe 2 years later, after I'd been praying for this guy, he went to his daughter's church in another town and got filled with the Holy Spirit and tried to bring it back to that church, and they fired him, which is the best thing that ever happened to him, you know. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But that's what we're to do. We're to pray for them and watch God work in their life. It'll work. It always works.
You know, they're going to need an apostle for all these divisions. You know, just like in the swarming of hornets there, it took Paul to get them all out of those little
sects
that they were going to make there. And I think a lot of people, when they read that, they just don't get it. But how many different denominations did they have now? I don't think any.
Last count was 44,000.
44,000?
Yeah. 44,000 different sects, Christianity.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
I can understand why you're going to need 144,000.
Yeah. That's a bunch of untruth going on out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, when you start out, I believe in 1900, there was like 1,600 sects. Now there's 44,000. So, yeah, Missy.
My experience from being down in Tennessee is the most divided division, which is an oxymoron, isn't it, almost? But anyway, the most divided denomination is Baptist. I think they have more, you know, branches or spinoffs of, it's just crazy.
Oh, Baptist. You're talking about the Baptist?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you've got all kinds of, well, that's just the way it is in all of them. Church of Christ, same way. Church of God, same way. Church of God is a peel off. Church of God and prophecy, you got Church of God and prophecy, and I don't know, there's a couple of more. You know, it's just, that's just the way people do. They get mad and they leave and they go ahead and start another. Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
I think, you know, for what Andrew, the things he was talking about, like, it's kind of like a wolf coming in sheep's clothing and that. But then what God has provided in the church, you know, elders.
You're in slow motion, Denny.
And it's their responsibility to deal with, and that's
tough. You're in slow motion. I don't.
And God has provided, really.
Our phone
is acting up here.
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay. I think we have a bad connection. Okay. Yeah. Well, if anyone can hear that, you know, God does provide that protection through the elders, and because they shepherd the flock, and they can discern. And so, you know, he has a way of dealing with it. It's not something to fear because, you know, the Lord will take care of it in that way.
Amen.
So, amen.
Thank you, Lord. That's what the man child fixing to do, isn't it? He going to come in here. He going to straighten us out. Good gracious. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. I'll tell you what, it's going to be good when he gets here.
Thank I'm definitely going to want to listen to what he talks and says. I don't want to, you know, you want to definitely pay heed to what he's got to say.
Oh, yeah. I know y'all got some questions. I know I got some. I got a stack of them, man. I want to ask. But, you know, getting back to this, we just, best thing to do is to throw it out there. If they receive it, they receive it. If they don't, they don't. If they don't, you just pray for them. But like I said before, you can't feed them a lot at the same time, because it'll just, man, they'll just, their mind just goes nuts. So, you know, they can't handle a lot of unleavened bread. They just can't. Well, this has been a good topic. Thank you, Jackie, for, I don't know, we might even have some more to carry on through Thursday if y'all want to. We can also talk about something else if you'd like.
Is there something particular you want to share about that, Jackie?
Well, can you hear me? I was just being taught not to put one's clothes in the natural to me above my neighbor, which is anybody that comes in close contact with me that the Lord brings across my path, then becomes my neighbor, and trying to not put family members in a position above, respecting them more so than somebody else. Like in an instance, I'm visiting my sister in the nursing home, and the home is filled with people that are just suffering so much. And I have another family member in there too, and my heart just goes out much to everybody, but I'm focused most on my sister because I'm there seeing her. So I'm trying to learn not to make, have respecters of persons in that way, in a sense, in how I'm feeling and reactions for my sister suffering as opposed to the woman that's sitting right next to her suffering. Because in Father's eyes, there is no respect of persons, so my sister's suffering means the same to him as the woman that I don't even know who's suffering. Yet I'm there spending my time focused on my sister and trying to minister to her and trying to encourage her and love her, all while I'm doing it to people that are coming across my path at that time, that day. But my whole sole purpose is going to minister to my sister. So I'm trying to learn not to put somebody close and dear to me in the natural through my bloodline as a natural family above somebody that is my neighbor who I should be loving as myself, like the Lord commanded is the second commandment. Does that make sense, or does anybody understand? Okay, yeah. That's what I'm trying.
Dave does.
I always think, if anything, you're there, even though you have somebody else in close proximity, like it sounds like, and you're ministering to one person, your sister or your close relative. You know, if somebody else is picking up on what you're saying, you are ministering to them, and you know, you're dropping seeds, and there looks like there's an opportunity. You can pray to the Lord about that and see if this will open up any opportunities for you to share more or minister to that person. It doesn't, you know, our ministries are strange in that way. We might go there with one intent, and all of a sudden something else might open up. And that's a good thing. So don't feel like you're not able to minister. I noticed whenever you drop seeds, that's just it. You know, you don't know where they're going to land and where they're going to take root. So it doesn't necessarily mean what you're doing, you feel like you're serving one person and not giving attention to another. Your attention could be drawn in from others, and we don't even realize it. So I don't feel like you're not giving somebody the attention they need. They might be getting the attention they need in the way God's providing it at the time, like that, just by you being there, hearing the word, and then maybe that'll open a door for you. Pray about those things too. You know, we don't always can't get received by a stranger unless God opens the door. And so if we pray about those things, boy, the doors open a little more easier. So,
amen. Your focus is, of course, on your family member. Your focus is on that. You can't, it's impossible for you to help everybody in there at the same time, right? So don't worry about everybody else. You focus on your family member, and if the Lord puts that person that's next to her in your heart, pray for them. Pray for them, you know. But you don't need to get yourself caught up in, oh, I got to do this, or I got to go do that, I got to go over here to this, you know. Don't just focus on what God's got you on right now. He's got you working on sister. And if sister is receiving, and like Dave said, if the lady across the way there, man, whatever it is, across the way is listening, praise God, you know, and she asks you a question, boy, there's a door open right there. That's the door. That's God's door. That's not your door. That's God's door. He's open. And you have to be attuned to the Holy Spirit, of course, like Dave was talking about. But you're done good. That's good.
Thank you, Dave.
Yep. Amen.
Well, yeah, I can only think of Jesus was able to take on the hordes. And I don't know if we could, you know, we might see that need. But I know Jesus
it's
could
coming.
Do it. Sure, if we can. Without
it's coming.
Let
me tell you something. Glory to God. I know one of these days I'm going to walk in one of them nursing homes like she's talking about, and people going to come running out of there.
Amen.
And the hospitals, I know people, some of y'all going to be going into them hospitals, and they're going to empty the hospitals out. I know it. And they're going to come running. Come running. Come running, come running to the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. All right, now, that's all you're going to get out of me.
Sing it, Michael.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
So I did tell my sister the encouraging testimony you read the other day of the woman that had MS and was paralyzed and kept asking for the shoes, and I told her I'm going back home this weekend again to see her. So I told her I'm going to read that to her, and I said,
amen.
I'm going to pray, and she said, that's going to be me, that's going to be me.
Walking amen.
Away. And I said, amen, we need to see a miracle like that. So I said, I'm going to read it to you, and whoever else is around that wants to listen to it, I said, I think it's going to encourage a lot of people.
Awesome. You read that to her, and you watch her faith go sky high, and then you can minister to her.
Thank
Gertrude
you.
Tyser. That's that woman's name. All right. All right, well, let's just continue this Thursday night if y'all want to. We'll continue this, and if you think of anything else we need to, holler at me. We'll throw it out in the email. Has anybody got anything we need to pray for before we close out? Well, Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this subject. It's a fascinating subject. It's one that needs to be talked about, it looks like. And I thank you for placing it in Jackie's heart to suggest it. And Father, we thank you that you're even going to get more revelations out of this respecter of persons that you've given us, Lord. I can already think in my mind, Lord, that you probably placed there, that you have placed there, of things that we can talk about as far as respecter of person. And Father, I thank you. Thank you for your protection upon everybody here. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you would let them know what their authority in Christ is, and that they should be praying against this evil, corrupt things that are going on in this United States, Lord. Just in the United States. I'm not talking about across the world, but I'm talking about just right here, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to pray against the deep state, to pray against these evil, corrupt politicians, and to pray pray for each other and to intercede for each other. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep here tonight for everybody. And I thank you, Father, for the dreams and the visions you're going to give everybody about the things that are fixing to come, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives. And I pray these things in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good night. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, Michael, that Kim, the daughter we prayed for earlier for the jabs. Her husband just called and said they had to take her to the hospital because her left arm just went totally numb. She's had that before, twice. It's something to do with something in her brain, but just want to pray for her. So,
yeah, go ahead.
Lift up Kim right now, Lord Jesus, for that healing, God, that you would just keep her safe, God, keep her protected, even, Lord, and heal this thing again, Lord Jesus, and Father, use this to draw her, get her back to you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, God. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, Lord. We thank you for the healing. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We praise you for it, Lord. We thank you for the good testimony we're going to get Thursday night because of it, Lord. Is she a believer?
Yes, but she's not really walking with the Lord.
Okay. Well, Father, we thank you that you're going to make a good out of this, that you're going to draw her closer to you, Lord, and she's going to see your mighty power working in her, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, folks. God bless you, and we'll see you Thursday night.